If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, March 4th, 2021. You heard Gary Lezak tell us that we could get into the low 70s today, so plan accordingly. Spend a little time outdoors. But don't let your sixth grade daughter cross you up and break your ankles on the basketball court. That's not recommended. Okay? Just a little personal information there. Right now, we are going to talk baseball with our friend J.J. Piccolo, who, of course, is vice president, assistant general manager, player personnel of the Kansas City Royals. J.J., good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome. Thanks for your time. Thanks for talking baseball with us. Let's get to it. Jackson Kowar had pitched a couple of impressive innings. Tell us what you saw from Jackson Kowar.
Yeah, he really pitched well. It's nice to see first time out. Sometimes guys can be a little bit amped up, you know, a little nervous, but he settled in real quickly. He threw a lot of strikes. His curveball looked real good, and obviously his changeup is just an outstanding pitch, which he didn't use a whole lot. I think he threw maybe two or three of them, really just trying to focus on fastball command and his breakable. And that's a sign of a maturing pitcher, just trying to work on some things that, you know, you need to have. And command is certainly one of them. Once a guy gets in the zone, they kind of go from there with their fastball.
And we're obviously going to be watching all these young pitchers, JJ, through the course of spring training. And you talk about a pitcher working on maybe two specific pitches or command on a certain thing. How should we on the outside that don't really know when we're watching a certain game what this guy's working on, how much should we pay attention to the results when they go out into these games, especially early in spring training?
Yeah, I don't think you should pay a lot of attention to it. I learned, you know, a couple of good lessons along the way. One was listening to John Smoltz talk about what he tries to get accomplished through his live batting practices right before he goes into games, which is it's just a progression that pitchers go through. But all he wanted to do was throw the ball down the middle of the plate, and he would tell people the more home runs I give up, the better off I'm going to be when it's opening day. And then I remember down here, you know, over 10 years ago now, Zach Greinke coming into spring training just bound and determined to develop a changeup. And along the way, he got beat up a little bit in spring training. But, you know, at the end of September and October, he was being named the Cy Young Award winner. So you learn lessons that way. And I think it's a lot easier for veteran pitchers like the two that I've mentioned to do that. Younger guys, they're trying to make the team, so they, you know, they're not as willing to commit to something like that early in spring training. But, you know, as I mentioned with Jackson, just watching him go about his business the other day, that was vastly different than what we saw last spring, and this is his second time around, so he's starting to learn what it's about as well.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. What about Daniel Lynch? He also had his first action, and we were listening to him in his post-game comments, and he said, look, this is the first game in about a year that he's had a chance to pitch in. So what did you see from Daniel Lynch?
Yeah, he was really good his first inning. I mean, stuff was good. The delivery was good. And then the second inning, you know, he started getting a little bit, you know, I keep using that word amped up, but he started getting amped up. And, you know, he's throwing 96, 97. You know, then he, you know, it almost felt like he was trying to, when he got the two strikes, he was really just trying to put hitters away with a fastball that's 100 miles an hour. And I believe Jason Hayward was the hitter that, you know, where that inning sort of flipped around on him. But, you know, it was a good outing. It was, I think if he had to do it over again, he might have made a couple different pitch selections along the way and got out of that second inning without any issues. But, you know, the good thing about outings like that, you hope they learn from it, you know, and you just, I'm sure there was, you know, a film review with Cal Eldred, Mike Matheny, you know, Salvi caught one of those innings, you know, a lot of discussion about what happened there, and then you learn from it and you move on to the next one. But there were definitely some positive things we saw, and really encouraged with where he's at right now in camp.
Hey, JJ, before we get back to talking about some more of these young guys and what they've done so far in camp, one of the bits of news we got this week was that the AAA season's going to be moved back a little bit, the start of the season. And I'm curious what your reaction is to that. And then what do you do with these guys that would otherwise go to, will you just keep them in extended spring training? They talked about the alternate sites, but I know the place where you guys practiced in your alternate site last year, I think, is going to be in use this year. So what will you guys do for your alternate site? And just what's your reaction to that news in about AAA right now?
Well, we're not surprised by the news. I mean, certainly something we knew was on the table, and there was a likelihood that was going to happen. We had gotten some more conflicting messages last week. You know, one call we had told us to move forward and secure your alternate site. The next call we had, we were told that AAA was going to start on time. So, but the good thing is it was decided quickly. So we have a chance now to secure an alternate site, and we're going to look at two places, and Kansas City T-Bones, Monarchs now, is one stadium we'll look at, just the convenience of being in Kansas City, players last minute having to go suit up for a major league game, they're 20 minutes away, and then the other place is Northwest Arkansas, our AA facility, which is 3 hours away and presents some challenges, but it's a great facility, and we'll just have to make a decision between the two. And, you know, the greater challenge is how do we keep these players sharp and prepared to pitch or play in a major league game? So they're going to, you know, players that go to the alternate site are going to have played in, I believe, 24 games here in spring training. They're game ready, and then you go to the alternate site and you don't have anybody to play, and you have to inter squad and simulated games and things like that. So it's not ideal, but, you know, we're one of 30 clubs and we're all dealing with the same thing. So, I just don't, you know, we just got to make the best of it. That's what we've got to do.
JJ Piccolo is our guest. All right, JJ, what about Jerrod Dyson returning to the Royals on a one-year deal? Tell me about the plans for Dyson.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, we love Dyson. We always have. He just brings a certain element to a clubhouse and an energy, a vibe, you know, that he's been on winning teams. he was a key piece to our World Series teams in 14 and 15, and just excited to have him back. And, you know, I think it's going to be a similar role that he's pretty much been in his whole career. I mean, he's a great guy off the bench. He's obviously can pinch run. You know, we've got potentially a bat or two that he might pinch hit for on any given night. But I think what we're looking for as much as anything is just leadership, you know, that veteran leadership. You know, we've got some good players around him, but the leadership that he'll bring is a little bit different than the guys we have. He's just fun to be around in the clubhouse and knows what we're about, and he represents us well. So it's a great sign for us.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo. J.J., earlier this week, I thought it was interesting to see the outing that Jacob Junis had, because I feel like he's a guy that we almost forget about a little bit with all the young pitching prospects coming up, and whether he's going to be in the bullpen or the rotation this year. He said he added this cutter that he feels really good about, and he wishes he had added it sooner in his career. As you guys evaluate him and watch him, if he's got this new pitch to his arsenal, how does that change the way you look at him, or does it? I mean, I guess, what did you see from it, and what does that do when you guys take a look at what he means to the team going forward this year?
Well, first thing is the cutter is excellent. I mean, it's really stood out in his bullpen sessions, his live BPs, and then the other day in the game. I mean, it was a legitimate cutter. A lot of times people say they're throwing a cutter, and it's more of like a hybrid slider, you know, but not quite a cutter. This is a true cutter, and it was impressive. You know, I think the plan right now is to build him up and let him compete for the starting rotation. You know, he's got as many starts as probably anybody on our staff other than Danny Duffy in his career, so he's more of a veteran guy for us. So we're going to let him compete for that spot. You know, if he ends up having to go to the bullpen, I think he's the type of guy that understands, you know, what a team needs. Then he goes to the bullpen. But, you know, off of what we saw the other day, we don't think there's any reason to not let him continue to be built up and be a part of the starting rotation.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest, and Bobby Witt Jr. had a good day at the plate yesterday, had a hit, had a walk, scored a couple of runs. So far at the plate, what have you seen from Bobby Witt Jr. compared to maybe what you saw from him last year and saw from him at the alternate site?
You know, he may not be getting the results that we saw last summer, but, you know, we're looking at a handful of at-bats. But the thing that is still standing out is he doesn't swing at bad pitches. You know, just you watch the pitches that he's making passes at, they're in the strike zone. And then pitches that are, you know, just off the plate, he's taking them. He had a good at-bat against Bieber the other day, which is, I thought, a great thing for Mike Mussini to start him that day so he can see, you know, arguably the best pitcher in our division, and he had a competitive at-bat against him, and that was good to see. So, you know, from a result standpoint, not concerned because he's swinging a good pitches, and he's balanced, and he looks good in his preparation. So I think it's going to be a good spring for him. The thing that stood out yesterday, and these are little things that help teams win ball games, with two outs, he was on first base, and there was a pop-up hit. He was running as hard as he could possibly run off the bat. The ball falls and he scores from first base and we win the game by a run. They're the things that championship players do. And, you know, regardless of anything else he had done in that game yesterday, that's what the coaches are talking about afterwards, because that type of hustle is what great players do and ultimately allows teams to win. So it was a good day.
And he played second base yesterday. Is he the kind of guy that just, look, if you, a lot of times they say if you can play shortstop, you can pretty much play anywhere. Is that the case with Bobby Witt Jr.? How much do you guys want to see him at other positions besides just shortstop?
Well, we're going to move him around. I mean, he's obviously a shortstop. He played a lot of third last year. He's had some time at second base, but yesterday was his first start at second base. But we just believe in his athleticism. I mean, he can handle it. He's a baseball player. And, you know, today, in today's game, with all the shifting, it's changed so much. I mean, whether you're the shortstop or second baseman, you're going to be playing second base and shortstop in the same game anyway. You know, with all the shifting. So, you know, if you're the deep man on the left-handed shift, I mean, it's you need to have arm strength now, so shortstop kind of fits there anyway. If you're a right-handed shift and you're a second baseman, you're all the way up the middle and essentially playing shortstop as well, got to have arm strength. So the game has changed, the position's changed, and he fits the bill for it. The thing that you know, you're always concerned with and have to work on is turning double play from that spot, because your back is to the runner when you turn a double play. But Bobby's so athletic, and he gets the ball in and out of his glove so quickly. It was pretty amazing to watch him do it in the drill work, and, you know, he answered that question pretty quickly.
JJ, we talked a little bit about Michael Taylor last week, and this week he had a game where he showed his range and had showed his arm when he doubled someone off first, and then yesterday he won for two, drew a walk, drove in a run, and so showing Royals fans here and there some of the reasons why you liked him enough to sign him.
Yeah, it's been good to watch. And that's a player that we didn't get a chance to play against much, being in the National League, but you know about him. But just watching the type of player he is, as far as the defense, you know, watching him shag fly balls in the outfield, he's going to be a premium defender in center, which we, you know, is the main reason why we got him. But watching his swings in the batter's box and in the cage, he's got a good approach. It's a real sound approach. It's a simple approach. He knows what he wants to do. You know, he tried to lay a bunt down the other day as well, which is great to see, and use his speed. So I've been excited, you know, watching him play. I'm like, there's offensive potential here, which, you know, our scouts had said anyway. I mean, there's more in the tank, and you know, just try to keep working with him, get him better, and understand what his role is, and be a productive person in the lineup. And any plus production you get out of him is a bonus. You know, but right now he's looking like he can get on base and do some things.
Certainly exciting there. You know, JJ, I just kind of thought of a question when you were talking about the versatility that you like from Bobby Witt Jr. And with the shifting that guys are going to have to play almost multiple positions in the course of a game. It's interesting, in other sports that we watch, Steven's a big MMA fan, and it used to be in mixed martial arts that you were described as one type of fighter. You were a Muay Thai fighter, or you were a wrestling guy. Now it's like you're supposed to know all the disciplines. In basketball, it used to be you were a low post player or a perimeter player, and now there's seven-footers that shoot threes and can pass the ball and handle the ball. In football, it used to be you were a running quarterback or a throwing quarterback. Now the Patrick Mahomeses of the world can do all of it. Are you seeing that as a guy that evaluates young talent, amateur talent? Is there any of that happening in baseball? Where, you guys have some players with real versatility, like Whit Merrifield and Hunter Dozier can play multiple positions. I'm just curious, is that something that's happening in baseball now, where guys are starting to say, "Hey, why can't I do all these things instead of specializing in one thing?" Or has that made its way over to baseball like it has in other sports?
Well, maybe in a different way than the sports you mentioned, but I think the versatility is a huge plus, because when you're making lineups out, you got to have flexibility in your personnel. So if you got a left-handed bat on the bench and he's an outfielder, well, that's a great day. You can get Whit Merrifield to second base. Now you match up better in the lineup. I don't think that's a new thing. I think that's probably been around. I think what we are seeing more and more is your best nine hitters are going to be in the lineup, and teams aren't as concerned defensively with where they're playing guys, which is not our philosophy. But when you see the shifting and the positioning, and I can't tell you in four games so far how many hard hit balls have been hit right at somebody that is in a spot that you typically wouldn't stand. I mean, it's really uncanny. So, but I think because of that, you can take some bigger guys that don't have as much range, but they can hit, and you can put them in certain positions. But the more versatility you get with a guy like Merrifield, a guy like Dozier, and we just talked about Junior being able to play multiple positions, it helps you, because now you're more athletic, and you're you may still be able to play position guys well, but you may make the play that you do have to range a little bit, so you're just a little more athletic in those things. So the game has changed a little bit, and a lot of these ballparks now, the newer parks are smaller, so typically you're not too concerned about the left fielder, because he can play against the wall and just catch anything in front of you. If anything over your head's a home run anyway. So I think that changed the way teams put their personnel together as well. Again, going back to your question, versatility is an advantage. I mean, you want to be as versatile as you can, and multiple players like that certainly help.
JJ, Edward Olivares, who was brought over last year in the Trevor Rosenthal deal with San Diego, he had a home run against the Cubs, and then yesterday doubled in the winning runs in the 6-5 win over the White Sox. What kind of role could he carve out for himself with the Royals?
Well, he's a good-looking player. I mean, we got a little bit of a look at him in Kansas City last year, but he's really athletic. He can run, and he's got power. Again, you get a player mid-year, you don't get a chance to, rework things, but you tend to just let him play. You're not going to make any changes when you first acquire a player. But now that we've had him, and now in off-season, he spent the off-season in Arizona training, now through spring training. I know Rusty has done some things to clean up his footwork in the outfield and help him get better jumps, and we saw him range for a ball the other day that was a great running catch. And then, he shortened up his swing. I think his swing it's a little bit shorter. He's a strong guy, too. He's athletic, but he's strong. He's put together well. And that ball he hit, he put a charge into it and, made it a 3-2 game. So, but he's when we acquire players, in deals like that one, that's where we really go after our profile. He profiles as a center fielder, plays good defense, he can run, and he's got some power. So it's maybe a less experienced version of Michael Taylor, and maybe with a little bit more strength. So Edward's a good-looking player.
You mentioned the footwork that he's worked on with Rusty Kuntz, and what an asset to the organization Rusty Kuntz has been with some of the work he's done defensively and with base running with your players over the years. So how good can Oliveras, like, what's his ceiling defensively, and how much progress has he made in that regard?
What we're seeing, he can play center. I mean, I was excited watching him go get that ball the other day. And what he's done now is he's just getting off the ball a little bit quicker. You know, and sometimes it's unfair to judge guys when they're at a major league stadium, because that third deck in the major league stadium can really be deceptive to the outfielders. So he had a couple balls last year when he played out there. He didn't get a great jump. So I don't know if it was the third deck or if it was just, you know, the footwork wasn't where it needed to be. But the other day, the ball was, he went to go get a ball yesterday as well. It just was out of his reach. You know, he's just quicker off the mark. And so, you know, seeing a guy be coachable and then apply things, you know, gives you good reason to think that he's going to be able to stay in center field and be a good defender. So it's, you know, pointing in the right direction for sure.
JJ, I know that Modesty has been battling a foot issue. How close is he to getting in the lineup?
Yeah, I'm not real sure, Steve. And you know, every day I think we're hopeful he's going to go in. He's going through all his work, but it's not something that, you know, we have to push right now. But he's going through all his work. He's doing everything he's supposed to be doing. We're just being cautious and holding him out of games till he feels 100%. So I don't know if that'll be tonight, tomorrow, you know, Saturday, Sunday. But hopefully by the end of the week we get him in there.
JJ, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you for all the good information, and enjoy Arizona. And you know what? It's going to be in the 70s today, so you don't have to feel so guilty about talking to us. It gets better. It gets better every week. So now you're free to tell. So what's the high going to be? What's it going to be today? Do you know how gorgeous is it out there today?
I'm not sure. I know it hit 81, I think, yesterday, but I'm not sure what it's going to be today. But I'm standing outside right now in shorts and a t-shirt, and so I would imagine it's probably going to get into the low 80s again.
Well, I'm going to match your shorts and a t-shirt today with 72 here in Kansas City. Thank you, JJ. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.